Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyi al-'azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Wa ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. I am grateful to God the Almighty for giving us this opportunity to meet again here in this beautiful church, which is also special for us because it's also our neighbor church. So we have attachment to this church, and always we pass by this church and we look at it as an asset for all people who live in this area in London. Our topic today is Abraham. Is that no matter how much you have studied or reflected about their personality and achievements, you would always have new things to discover. I have been involved in Islamic studies since my teenage, time, and now it's more than,
70 years.
it's almost now between three to four decades, but still I am learning about this man. And still I think I have not been able to understand the greatness of this man. And when you study the Quran, I don't think this would be an exaggeration. I have really thought about it. I don't think it's an exaggeration that Abraham is the one who has a unique position, a central position, a person that is like a standard, a person who has been chosen by God as a role model for all mankind. We all know about this verse in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 124. Especially the Shia Muslims very much refer to this verse about Abraham being chosen by God as Imam. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. When God tried and tested Abraham in all different possible ways, and he passed all the tests successfully, then God told him, "Qal inni ja'iluka lin-nas imama. I now appoint you as a leader for mankind." This is the verse that we reflect on it a lot. But I think something that might not have received still enough attention, or at least this is my humble view, is that Ja'iluka lin-nasi imama might not be the leader for mankind at that time. This is normally we look at it. We take it as that God made him the leader for the people of his time. As we look at other imams, that they were the leader for people of that time. But I think maybe this means he reached the point that God was pleased with every aspect of his thought, of his practice, of his personality, that he chose him as a guide for human generations to come. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. So it means from this point, human beings have someone that they can look at him and follow him. As a kind of maybe similarity, if you reflect on the verse about Kaaba, إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا. The very first house which has been constructed for humanity is the house which is in Mecca. So was it a house for humanity of particular age, or it is a house for humanity no matter to which age or generation they belong? And you see, Abraham and that house are very well connected. Actually, Abraham was the one who was asked by God to restore that house. So, in the same way that this house is a house for all human beings, from the time of Adam up to the end, I think Abraham is a leader for mankind up to the end of the time. And when we reflect on the verses of the Quran, we realize that at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abraham had very central position in the conversations between Jews, Muslims, and Christians. Unfortunately, it seems today we are not showing enough attention to Abraham. In theological discussions, we talk about Abraham, but it seems that it's not a topic of daily conversation of Jews and Christians and Muslims. I think this is a sad reality. But at that time, Abraham was a point of reference for all these communities. And actually, Abraham was so important that they tried to justify their position by attaching himself and relating themselves to Abraham. Even sometimes they used to say, for example, that Abraham was a Jew, or Abraham was a Christian, or maybe, you know, some Muslims say Abraham was a Muslim in the narrower sense, to justify their position. Because Abraham was a person who was accepted by all, a person who was not under any question or, you know, question mark. So everyone wanted to justify himself by saying that Abraham was with us. And there are many verses about this in the Quran. If you refer to chapter 2, from 130 onwards, you have maybe about 10 verses about this position of Abraham. And what my understanding is, maybe we need to have, you know, a kind of, I don't know, symposium, something, you know, we can discuss all these things, you know, in a relaxed way. We are not just rushing because, you know, 15, 20 minutes, we cannot do anything. But my understanding of this is, and I have shared this with my friends in the seminary of Qom in 10 lectures, that according to the Quran, Abraham is the founder of Islam. And Islam doesn't mean the religion which is introduced by Prophet Muhammad. Abraham is the founder of Islam, which is the religion of submission to God. The same religion of Moses and Jesus, the same religion that Prophet Muhammad invited everyone to go back to it. The way I understand is that our Prophet didn't bring new religion. Our Prophet reinstated what Abraham had presented. And now you understand, إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا has another meaning. It's not just for the people of that time. Let me just reflect on 2-3 verses of this passage from Surah Baqarah, chapter 2. And Sheikh Bahmanpour actually ended his recitation with the beginning of this passage. Verse 131 of chapter 2. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord told Abraham, submit yourself. Doesn't say submit to whom or for what. It is an absolute submission. And he said, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I submit myself to the Lord afterwards. وَوَصَّى إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Abraham enjoined the same thing to his children, and the same was done by Jacob. يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. My children, God has chosen for you this way of life, this path, this religion, which is the religion of submission to God, submission to the absolute truth. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die unless you are submissive to God. So submission to God is the core. Then God says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ. Were you present when Jacob was going to die? You were not present. So God is giving you the news, the report about what Jacob said just before he died. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ. He asked his sons, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Whom are you going to worship after me? He was checking with them what is their understanding of God. قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا. They said, we are going to worship your Lord. Means God in the way that you introduced to us. God of Abraham, God of Ishmael and Isaac. One God. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we are going to submit ourselves to that one God, to God of Abraham. And then God says in after some verses, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ وَإِسْحَاقِ وَيَعْقُوبِ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوْتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوْتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Tell, we believe in God, and whatever has been sent by God, because we are submissive to God, then we are not selective here. We say we believe in what God revealed to Muhammad, we don't believe in what was revealed to Moses or Jesus. We believe in whatever has been sent to us, or to Abraham, to Ishmael, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the children from the progeny of Jacob who were prophets, what Moses was given, what Jesus was given, what all the prophets were given. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. We don't discriminate against any of the prophets or messengers. ونحن له مسلمون. And we are submissive to God. So, in my understanding, Abraham has a central position. And in his life, which I try to mention some aspects of his life, we find something that can be inspiring all human generations. How to be submissive to God, but in the way that your relation with other people would be a relation of care, a relation of mercy, a relation of trying to make other people happy as your children. This care that Abraham had for people is the care of a father. And we are in need of that care. Unfortunately for people, it's difficult to find the balance between being religious and being kind and charitable. Sometimes people think that, you know, to be religious or to be, you know, focused on God means you reduce at least your relation with people, you isolate yourself, or, you know, you try to, for example, just have minimal contact with people because that would damage your concentration. So I want to mention few aspects of Abraham's life, and as I said, I cannot do justice. It's much more than can be discussed in one lecture. Abraham was a man of thinking. This is very important. Religion comes with thinking. Religion doesn't come with being closed-minded. He was a man of thinking. The Quran talks us about how Abraham reflected on different religious traditions of his time. He thought carefully about those who worshipped stars, those who worshipped moon, those who worshipped sun. He really was engaged in their arguments. And he put actually himself in his position that he wanted to see why someone may worship a star or moon or sun. So he tried to imagine that if you are a star worshipper, what would be your understanding? But then he said, I don't like to worship a Lord who is setting. I don't want to worship moon, which is subject to decline or weakness. Then after checking all these alternative religions, I'm not saying that he started worshiping, but I'm saying he tried to put himself in the position of those people and objectively see what is the advantage of what they do and what are the disadvantages. And then he made up his mind and said, I am worshiping the Lord of the worlds. So this thinking is very important. This engagement is very important. But then the Quran tells us that he was not satisfied with the result of his own thinking and study. He was not satisfied with having conventional knowledge. He was a man of aspiration and ambition. So he said to God, Rabbi arini malakuta samawati wal ardh. I'm not happy with just studying, you know, the books and, you know, available scholarship. Please show me the kingdom of the skies and the earth. Look at his farsightedness. Or he said, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al mauta. My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. A question that maybe no one before Ibrahim asked. How God gives life to the dead. And Allama Tabatabai says, actually his question was not just to see how God revives the dead. His question was how God revives the dead. So God made himself to revive the dead, not just to watch. So look at the way Ibrahim starts his search for truth. Starting with thinking, and then asking God to take him to the heights of insight and vision. When it comes to his relation with people, we find that he was a very hospitable person. We have this in Islamic tradition. We have also this in Jewish and Christian traditions, that Ibrahim was a hospitable man. Even I heard from a Jewish scholar that according to their sources, they say house of Abraham had no walls so that people could go to his house. So maybe it's a symbolic thing. It means that he was very hospitable. But what we have in Islamic sources is that he was a person who always loved to have guests. Not only to welcome the guests when he had no one to share with whom his meal, he used to go outside and look for guests. Look at this man. This is what we need. Unfortunately, nowadays, when even people come and knock our doors or our countries for help, we are reluctant to help them. But Ibrahim was a man who was going around to find who are the people that may not even be very much needy or poor or hungry, but just to share what God has given you with other human beings. And we have a beautiful hadith about when God chose Abraham as his friend. I love this story, and many times I have mentioned this story, and I never become tired of mentioning this story. that once Abraham went out to find some people to invite, and he used to shut the door so that his family would not be disturbed by the people who might be not good people. But when he was going back home, he was surprised that a young man was coming out from his house or was inside his house. So he asked him, بِإِذْنَ مَنْ دَخَلْتَ هَذِهِ الدَّارِ, with whose permission you entered this house? He didn't attack him. He didn't start fighting with him. He just asked the question, with whose permission? So he assumed that he must have permission, but he said, who has given you permission? He said, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّ هَذِهِ الدَّارِ, with the permission of the Lord of this house. Abraham didn't say, I am the Lord of the house. I didn't give permission. He immediately realized that this must be a person that God has given him permission. Then that angel told Abraham, God has chosen someone as his friend, as his Khalil. And this fact that he was chosen by God as his Khalil, as his friend, by itself is very, very important. To be in a position that God loves you so much that makes you his friend and adopts you as his friend is beyond our understanding. So that angel said, I have come here to inform someone who has been chosen by God as his friend that this is the good news for you. What was Abraham's reaction? He didn't say, thank you for bringing me the news. No, he never thought that it's him. Although he was the messenger of God in that town, he was the most pious person in that time and that age and that place, and this person was in his house, but he never thought about himself. Look at this. Sometimes, you know, when we are religious people, we develop bigger ego inside. I am important. I am the one who is more religious than other people. I am more closer to God. I worship God. So, but this was not the style of Abraham. Humbleness is a sign of being really religious person. So he never thought that it is him. He said something magnificent. He said, who is the one who has been chosen by my Lord as his friend so that I serve him till I die? We need Abraham today. We need Abrahams today. People who have no hesitation. Actually, they volunteer themselves to serve friends of God. And then that angel said, it's actually you. Then what did Abraham say? He didn't just say thank you, or he didn't say, yes, I could guess this. No. He said, why? Why? You know, if for example, someone chooses me as the best scholar and I just thank, it shows that I am not humble. If they say you are chosen as the best scholar, I should say, why? I am not significant. There are many people better than me. So Abraham asked, why? And then he mentioned some qualities. And one of those qualities is this. You never asked anyone other than God for help. But you never said no to people who ask you for help. So you try not to be a burden on anyone and try to trust God, but you never expected the same from people when they came to you for help. You never said no to people. This is what we need today. We need religious people who try not to be a burden on others, but they are always available to help. This is a sign of a man of God. This is a sign of a friend of God. This is what we need today. Even Islamic literature says that when he was thrown into fire, Gabriel went to Abraham and offered help. And Abraham said, "Amma ilayka fala." I don't need your help. Thank you. My Lord knows my situation and I am submissive to him. If he wants to help me, he would help me. I have no doubt. So this is Abraham. And there are many other aspects of the life of Abraham. I don't want to speak more than my time, but I would like just to end with this also beautiful story about how close he felt himself to God without being thinking that he's special. There was a time of starvation, and Abraham had nothing to offer his family, his friends, his guests. So the hadith says he decided to go to Egypt and bring some wheat from Egypt to make flour and make bread for his family and friends and guests. He went to Egypt, but he could not find anything. I don't remember exactly the hadith, whether his friend was not there or his friend was not able to help. I don't remember this side. But anyway, he came back from Egypt and he didn't have anything. So he had his donkeys or whatever, horses or whatever he had, empty. So for a man like Abraham, it was very difficult and embarrassing to go back and have nothing to offer. So what he did, just before reaching his town, he filled the back of the donkey or camel, whatever, you know, the packs which were there, with some soil. So that at least when he arrives, it looks there is something inside. So he filled with soil, reached home, without saying anything about the details, he slept. Because he felt, you know, embarrassed, you know, to say that I don't have anything to offer. This is when a person is hospitable and generous, you know, to say I don't have anything, it's very embarrassing for him. So he slept, and when he got up, he smelled nice smell of fresh bread. He asked his wife, "How did you make this bread?" She said, "With the flour that your Egyptian friend has given us." And Abraham said, "Innahu khalili wa laysa bi Misri." "Yes, indeed, it is from my friend, but not the Egyptian wife." Thank you very much.